and face the baptismal font as you are able to do so. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, the light of our salvation. Amen. Yeah, it's up there, sorry. You don't have to say anything until the very end, and it's very simple. Amen. All right. Joined in Christ in these, the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for this, the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ, the promised Lamb at the center of the throne, who will shepherd us to the springs of these, the waters of life. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, your grace, and your love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever, let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Good morning. Good morning. Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, says the city of Judah. Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rule for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to read responsively with me Psalm 40. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of their people. You pardoned all their sins.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts.
Surely his salvation is at hand.
Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other.
Faithfulness will spring up from the mouth, and righteousness will look down from the sky.
The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps.
Our second reading comes from the second letter of Peter, the third chapter. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to recompense. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away, and the loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of person ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening and coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt away with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for the new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, in regard to the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. This is the word of our Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. And instead of Cheerios today, I've brought locusts and honey to throw at you. Have fun cleaning that up off the floor. Ron's like, "Nope, I told you you were cleaning up today." So the very first thing that my preaching professor, Carolyn Lewis, taught us is that our goal as preachers should never be to preach a good sermon. And you're like, "Well, that explains a lot," right, Tom? And now you're all thinking, he did take that to heart. So she instead encouraged us to preach faithful sermons. And today, in what I hope to be a faithful sermon, I want to emphasize one pillar of what makes a sermon faithful. It's content. A faithful sermon is contextual. Now, what do I mean by that, contextual? My friend Jenna, who came here and preached to us a while back, she is in the middle of a street preaching fellowship. As she shared with you, she proclaims the word of God outside of the sanctuary, out on the streets, to the homeless, to those with housing and food insecurities. She does this in contexts like San Francisco and in Boston. So I asked, could I take a sermon that I have written for here in this place, First Lutheran Church in Galleon, Ohio, and go preach it to the unhoused of Boston, Massachusetts, or San Francisco, California? I mean, I could do it, but would I be able to do it faithfully? Would I be preaching to them where they are? A faithful sermon accounts for not only what's going on in the world, but it accounts for what is going on with you as individuals and you as a context. So this, the people of First Lutheran in Galleon, Ohio, the context where I am preaching. So set that aside. The next statement I'm going to make is a tremendous oversimplification, but just go with it. Each book of the Bible, a biblical library is what I call it, was first recorded within a particular context. There was something going on in the author's world, and that is brought into that biblical text, into the Bible, into Scripture. No, someone didn't just sit down one day and write the Bible from start to finish. That's not how it happened. It happened over a long period of time with many writers, and each of them lived in their own context. There were things going on in that context. So we must ask, what in the world, literally, what in the world literally was going on when the Gospel of Mark was recorded? Because it wasn't like there was a guy walking alongside of Jesus named Mark recording this. This was written later. So Mark starts this way. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay, good news. And it's about the Son of God. I'm intrigued. I'm going to keep reading. But then the very next verse, he does something confusing. He says, right after he told me that this was the beginning, he says, as it was written in the prophet Isaiah. Wait, what? The beginning starts with something that was already written? So we, and the first readers and hearers of this gospel, would have known Isaiah as a centuries-old prophet. So this isn't the beginning of the good news, then, is it? Maybe it's the continuation of a much older story. Maybe it's the continuation of a story that, in and of itself, may have had some good news. The first audience, much like us, now must say, okay, what did this prophet Isaiah write, and what does it have to do with us? Because when we read Scripture and hear Scripture, we should be asking that question. What does this have to do with us? Why does this new story, this gospel, this alleged beginning, point us backwards to a different time and a different place and a different context? What in the world, then, literally, was going on when the prophet Isaiah proclaimed the words that are now recorded here in Mark? Well, these words point us to the very beginning of Isaiah chapter 40. Now, Isaiah, for context, is thought to be a single book. It looks like a single book. It is not really a single book in and of itself, is it? It is its own library. Chapters 1 through 39 were very likely written by a real prophet named Isaiah in roughly 800 BC-ish. And guess what? He was writing about the coming judgment against the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem. And it happened. The Babylonians conquered the kingdom of Judah. Jerusalem fell in 587 BC. And these, the chosen people, they were exiled. So, enter 2 Isaiah. 2 Isaiah picks up in chapter 40, nearly half a century after the fall of Jerusalem. And a new prophet is speaking to the exiles and their descendants. And this is what is said. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term. In other words, your exile, the exile that the other Isaiah proclaimed was going to happen in 1 through 39, your exile now here in chapter 40 is over. It is ending. We hear these words that are repeated in Mark's gospel. These words are repeated, are said next by the prophet Isaiah. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The prophet is telling these exiles, those who have been cut off from the land, go home. Go home because the way has been prepared for you. And if we continue on to verse 11 that Kevin read today, the news gets even better for these exiles. The Lord God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The Lord your God will lead you, the exiles, home. This is the context in which Isaiah chapter 40 was written. So why, we must ask, and you know, they might have been asking as well, why does the author of Mark begin his account of the good news of Jesus Christ by pointing these earlier Christ followers, who were, by the way, Jews, back to a story about Jewish exiles? Context. I have to correct that if someone's listening. They were Jews and Gentiles, but this was likely directed to Jews. Context. The Gospel of Mark was likely written either during or shortly after the Jewish-Roman War. Like I said, not written while Jesus was walking on this earth, but written shortly after the Jewish-Roman War, which was taking place or took place from 66 to 70 A.D. A war that culminated in the destruction of a temple, their temple, a temple that was reconstructed after the Babylonians came to Jerusalem from captivity. The first readers of this gospel, though not exiles, were captives in their own land, and they were undergoing extreme hardship at the hands of these Roman occupiers. They were in need of some good news, just like the exiles were in need of good news. And that good news sounded like this. The Lord your God is a God that is active in history. The Lord your God is a God that has saved God's people, your ancestors, before. God's people did not remain in exile. God prepared a way and led them back as a shepherd leads the shepherd's flock. Carried them back to Jerusalem in his bosom. And this same God, the Lord your God, sees your suffering too. And just as this same God did not forget about your ancestors in Babylon, this God, the Lord your God, has seen your suffering under the Roman occupiers and has not forgotten about you. The Lord your God is not a faraway God. In fact, let me tell you a story, says the author of Mark. This is a story about a guy named Jesus. And trust me when I tell you this story, well, this story is full of good news. This story about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only good news you will ever need. And now we, too, look at these texts, to Isaiah, to Mark, and we know that this same God, the Lord, our God, sees us in our suffering. Just as the same God did not forget about the exiled people of Judah, just as the same God did not forget about these Jews that were suffering under the Roman occupation, this God, the Lord our God, has seen us in our suffering and has not, I repeat, has not forgotten about us. But why do we today, December 10th, 2023, at First Lutheran Church in Galleon, Ohio, need this good news? What is our context here? What is going on here? I'll break it down even further than that. What is going on with you? What is your context? Something is going on in your life right now. I don't know what it is. Maybe I do. Maybe you've told me. But something is going on in your life right now, and you need that good news. What is it? Because my context, and Dennis's context, and Lydia, the sixth grader's context, it's not going to be the same context. And we all share a context, don't we? We share a context here at First Lutheran Church in Galleon, Ohio, on December 10th in 2023. Because a context is not just a place, it is a time. We aren't Jews being held under Roman occupation. I mean, that's good news, right? We aren't chosen people exiled in Babylon. That's good news, right? But we do need good news. Otherwise, why would we be here? Wouldn't you all be out to brunch right now? What is that context? What is our Babylonian exile? What is our Roman occupation? And the proclamation of John the Baptist, as it is applied to our own context, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. What does that proclamation mean to us here and now? In this context, on this day. So I'm going to ask a question. I just need to let you know, they got it right at the other church. What is our number one job as Christians?
To love one another.
To love one another. Proclaim the good news. Proclaim the good news to witness. That's kind of like proclaim the good news and... I think your answer encapsulates that as well, so it's not wrong. I'll get there. Our number one job is to witness to Jesus Christ. We are to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And through his life, death, and resurrection, we are to bear witness to what he has done for the world and what he has done for us. We are witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ to point people who are lost to the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. That is how we prepare the way for them. So, here in this context, in 2023, in rural America where Christianity is booming, where rural Christianity is on the decline, where mainline denominations like Lutheranism in particular are in decline, how do we witness to Jesus Christ? How do we prepare the way of the Lord? Now, here is where I wish I could tell you that seminary prepared me to give you a good answer. But they didn't. He's like, I'm waiting. I can't give you a good answer, but I can give you what I hope is a faithful answer. A faithful answer. Because here's the thing, I want to let you all off the hook. Your job is not to be good Christians. That's not your job. Your job is to be a faithful Christian. We are called to be faithful Christians. And how do we do this? Tom's like, I've been waiting the whole time for 3 points. Well, you get 4. Number one thing that I think we can do right here, right now, in this context, to prepare the way of the Lord. Strengthen our Lutheran partnership. I don't know what that looks like. It might be consolidation. It might not be consolidation. I don't know. But I do know that we must continue engaging in conversations with our Lutheran partners. We must continue to do things with our Lutheran partners, and we must do these things faithfully. And that means that we must be open to the Holy Spirit working in and through us and in these other congregations through this partnership. That's number one. Number two. No more partnership talk. Expand our intentional witness. I don't know, again, exactly what this looks like, but we can't limit our witnessing to Jesus Christ to this place on Sunday morning. Otherwise, we are just witnessing to ourselves. How can we more fully engage the community we inhabit where they are? Not where we are or where we think they ought to be, which is namely here on Sunday morning. We would love them to be here, so let's call them in. Let's witness to them. Let's clear that path and bring them here. But we have to go out there to witness to them in order to make them come here. But we don't witness just to bring them here. We witness to bring them to Jesus Christ. Number three. Live your witness. That comes down to your answer, Beth. Live your witness. When I say Christian witness, a lot of you probably cringe. Does he want me to go talk to a stranger in a coffee shop about Jesus or go knock on someone's door? I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, go for it. But a lot of us aren't. A lot of us don't want to go have that kind of conversation about Jesus. But we can live our witness. So go out and live that good news. Jesus Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, has liberated you, has freed you and us to go be Jesus Christ to the neighbor. And to those that maybe we don't get along with very well, right? I know, that's tough. Sorry. Got to do it. When we live out what Jesus Christ has done for us, people can feel it in and through us. And if they ask you about it, then you tell them out loud exactly what Jesus has done for you. And that brings me to number four, because I don't like 3-point sermons, Tom. you get four. I encourage you to prepare a coffee shop witness. You're like, what's a coffee shop witness? It's a witness you can give quickly to a stranger in a coffee shop. You can tell that person exactly what Jesus has done for you. Just a little itty-bitty short amount of time. A coffee shop witness. In case number three, above, see above, goes really well and someone asks, what has Jesus done for you? Coffee shop witness. It's ready to go. And it's hard to do. I can tell you, I can vouch for that, and it's hard to do. Which is why I want to offer you maybe a little cheat sheet today that's built around a single word. Maybe your witness is a single word. Hope. Hope. That is what the prophet Isaiah was proclaiming. The Lord will carry you home to Jerusalem. That is hope for the exiles. That is what the author of Mark was proclaiming. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. This is good news. That is hope to the captives. Jesus Christ, the Lord our God, through his life, death, and resurrection, right here today, right now, in this sanctuary, in other sanctuaries, in this and other church basements, during meals and fellowship, in coffee shops, around the world, in doctor's offices, in hospital rooms, in homeless shelters, on the streets of Boston and San Francisco and Gaza and Israel and Ukraine, in living rooms, in this and every other context in the world, Jesus Christ is there. Jesus Christ is with us. Jesus Christ is shepherding us through places where we may not even feel Jesus Christ. Jesus is with us, feeding us, gathering us into his arms, and carrying us in his bosom. That, in one word, hope, is what Jesus Christ gives us. And this hope is for us and for anyone who needs us, who needs it. So let us lead them to the hope that is Jesus Christ. And this hope, this is just the beginning of the good news. Just the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And for that good news, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration.
Send forth your faithful people with words of promise and forgiveness. Advent is a timing of wait, but the time to share the good news of Jesus Christ is now. Embolden us, the people of First Lutheran, that through our witness, the Holy Spirit may reveal your good news here in Galleon, in Crawford County, in Ohio, and beyond. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Raise prophetic voices among the nations that cry out for righteousness and peace. Empower us to make straight paths while we wait for the coming kingdom by increasing cooperation for justice between countries, commonwealths, political parties, and diplomatic leaders. Be with those working to restore a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel, that more hostages may be released and more Gazan civilians might be protected from violence. As Ukraine faces into another winter, we pray for a war-weary nation and for civilians that fear for lack of food and heat. Sustain them and all others across the globe who live on the edge of not having basic necessities. Merciful God,
reveal your majesty in mountain peaks, flowing rivers, and blossoming wilderness roads. Heal the earth where it longs for renewal, especially Lake Erie, its tributaries, and the fields and forests of Crawford County and of Ohio. Bring wholeness to the earth and all its creation. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Grant holy patience to all who are waiting, especially those who grieve during this season and wait for it to end due to pain from loneliness and loss of spouses, children, parents, other family members, and friends. We also lift today those in special need of your comforting presence: Paul, Marty, Mike, Marianne, Evelyn, Bobby, Michael, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Give hope to those seeking employment. Bring reassurance to people now waiting new diagnoses or treatments. Protect expectant parents. Watch with those who keep bedside vigil. Comfort and protect those who wait for peace in places where violence reigns, especially Israel and Gaza, Ukraine, Yemen, and Haiti. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Comfort your people with tender words of love and healing. Surround all who know depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, PTSD, panic disorder, and other mental illnesses and disorders, and remove the stigma associated with the oftentimes unseen illness of the mind. As we wait for a time when we can openly talk about these conditions without fear of judgment, we pray for healing, comfort, and peace for those struggling with them and for those who surround them with love and care, especially spouses, children, parents, family, friends, therapists, and other caregivers and medical professionals. Be a steadfast presence when all else fails and seems uncertain. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We now continue with our gifts and our offerings.
God, our provider, by your merciful hand, abundance springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts that are our bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection, and we look for hope, with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Holy Spirit Come among us, bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken us, your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of the Holy Spirit on this earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, most power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together now as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we await the coming of Jesus Christ, this meal, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, gives us a foretaste of the feast that is to come. Gather around this table, a table where all are welcome. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. You are a beloved child of God. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is.
Dude, you're looking good. That's some good walking.
This is the body of Christ. Please stand as you're able to do so. Oh, wait, that's me. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, in the bread and cup you have revealed your glory for all people to see together. Nourish us by this meal. Send us out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release. Brought to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a few announcements. Jeff, can you pull up that song that we just sang? All right. I just want to point something out about how amazing it is to have different gifts among different people. So that is literally all I gave Adam. He was sitting up there at the piano with literally just that, no other accompaniment. And you heard how he played it. Like, I'll never have to do that a week. I texted him this week, and I was like, hey, look at this song. This is all I have for you. Can you make that work? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. That is amazing. And it's amazing to have so many gifts in the church. And our gifts are many and varied. And thank you, Adam, and thank all of you for your many and varied gifts. That's all right. Adopt a Family Christmas tree tags. I still see some back there. That is coming to a close, I think, next Sunday. So please take another look if you haven't already, or you're like, man, I really want some more tags. Advent services continue this Wednesday, 7 p.m., Trinity Lutheran Church. Would love to see you there. A lot of other things going on this week. This Tuesday, I am being installed here as your pastor. That is a wonderful thing, I hope you think. I hope you agree with me that that's a wonderful thing. I will be installed here on Tuesday at 6:30. Please join on Wednesday. Also, prior to the service at Trinity, we will have our first supper here at 5 p.m. Combined with a dine and learn. There's information on that dine and learn back on the table. And it was also in the newsletter this week. And 5:30 on Thursday, we are meeting here, and we're going to have a council and committee potluck to just celebrate what's been going on here at First Lutheran this year. So please come to celebrate together if you're on a council or a committee, or if you just want to come and hang out. Just bring something to share. Is there anything else that feels like it was enough? All right. Seeing and hearing nothing, let us continue on with a blessing. And I think that that's mine also. I always forget. So please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the peace... Let's start that over. And now may the God of peace bless you, the love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
And now time for sermon number two. So we also have a potluck next Sunday after church. I forgot to remind you, it's in your bulletin, but please come to that also. Bring a dish. I think we'll give you ham, but you have to bring like cookies and pie and corn and all of that stuff. So please come. We're also doing a white elephant gift exchange if you'd like to participate in that. It's got to be awesome. Just keep it church appropriate, okay? Especially you. I'm pointing at you. Know who you are. And now, prepare. Oh, wait. Nope, nope. That one. That thing. Wait. That one's mine. And now prepare the way of the Lord. You go, Dennis.
Go in peace. Keep awake.
Thanks be to God.